Have you ever wondered how drones can help to develop climate-resilient agriculture? Do you know how remote sensors can help to protect rainforests? Or have you ever considered hiring a graphic designer online from Kenya? Welcome to Exploring Digital Spheres. This season is all about digital developments around the world. Follow our research team as they travel to 5 different countries to talk to experts from civil society, academia, and the private sector. We will address issues relating to digitalization, sustainability, the future of entrepreneurship and work around the globe.
Indonesia is an incredibly lush and green place. Life there is vibrant and thriving. Plants and animals are everywhere. Insects are buzzing, lizards lurk around light sources, and when one is lucky, one might see a musang, the cat-like creature known for its crucial role in producing kopi luwak, an Indonesian coffee speciality. With its over 17,000 islands and over 270 million inhabitants, Indonesia spans over 3 time zones and is home to the rainforest, which is considered to be inhabited by the widest variety of species globally. Those animals are not the only beings living off of the forest. Human activity in and around the rainforest has increased dramatically over the past, and industrial as well as economic interest has been a major contributor to deforestation and exploitation of the forest and its resources. According to the World Wildlife Fund, between 2011 and 2018 alone, Indonesia lost 16% of its rainforest. This makes keeping it alive a core task in sustaining not only Indonesia's, but also the global climate's future. Rainforests act as carbon storage as well as green lungs for the planet. Chopping them down releases carbon dioxide and inhibits our planet's restorative powers. The question of what can be done about this issue is rather old. With our activities in Indonesia, we were looking at that question from a digital perspective. What could the role of digital technologies, especially when employed by civil society, be for rainforest protection? While there are organizations working in this field already, our question centered around the possibilities of a more widespread and grassroots approach to this. In order to gain information, we conducted a multi-stakeholder dialogue, a panel discussion, and a study in regards to these issues. In this episode of Exploring Digital Spheres, follow the SET project team around Indonesia to learn about the state of its rainforest and the people trying to protect it. I am Moritz Timm, co-coordinator for the SET project. Join me and Dr. Stefan Bohn, academic lead in Indonesia, as well as Dr. Roland Hemstede, author of the aforementioned study, as we explore digital approaches to rainforest protection. Begin the journey with us in Jakarta, a buzzing megacity on the brink of drowning. A place where climate change is extremely visible and its effects are already felt by millions of people.
Rainforests, and especially peat forests, are crucial in slowing down climate change as they can store carbon in their biomass. This is specifically important for Southeast Asia, which, according to the Global Carbon Project, has the highest deforestation rate in the world. But what do digital technologies like drones, online platforms, and AI have to do with it? Before going into the deep of such questions, let me introduce that digitalization provides a wealth of data on the rainforest as the first and one of the most important elements. These data help to monitor the growth and diversity, but also environmental destruction, and thus makes both positive and negative developments visible. No government in the world and no company can deny or conceal destruction, deforestation, and slash and burn anymore, neither international nor vice the population. Likewise, the data collected are used specifically by wildlife and biodiversity conservation projects to protect and safeguard tropical rainforests. Digitalization thus offers new possibilities to contribute to rainforest protection. And with our project, we seek to explore the potential of digital tools and what is necessary for it to fully unfold.
I am sitting here with Roland Hemstede, who is the main author of our study exploring rainforest protection and digital technology in Indonesia. The study is accessible on the Institute's website as of this point. We are here to talk about the events we held in Jakarta, a public panel discussion, as well as a multi-stakeholder dialogue and what we took away from it. But first, let's have Roland introduce himself.
Hello everyone, I'm Roland Hemstede. I work as a senior consultant with IOD Park, which is an international development consulting firm. And over the past few months, as Moritz says, I've been working on this research project together with my colleague Pakya Pokrel. And it's been really interesting to find out more about how rainforest protection is taking place in Indonesia and particularly what role technology has in it.
Mm-hmm. You have been main authoring, together with your colleague, as you mentioned, you have been main authoring a study. Could you briefly outline what your study, what the research question was, and sort of what the scope of your study was, and how this in general fits into the SET project in a wider sense, and our events in a more narrow sense?
Yes, so for the research study, we wanted to understand really what role technology has in the sort of intersection between climate change and rainforest protection. Understanding that climate change both affects rainforests, but also that what happens with rainforest has an implication on climate change. Mm-hmm. And the way we approached this was through, of course, conducting a literature study, but for us it's very important that all the research we do is grounded in reality. So we have been conducting interviews with project developers that work on rainforest conservation, but also with some of the technology firms that understand how different technological solutions, particularly in the space of Earth observation and data traceability, can be used to aid the monitoring and protection of rainforests. And I think if we look at the multi-stakeholder dialogue yesterday, one of the things that stood out to me was a great understanding from the participants that rainforest protection is really a complex and multifaceted problem whereby we've got a lot of different stakeholders with different interests, but at the same time that there is a sense of energy and optimism about the role technology can play in this, and that in Indonesia itself there is an incredibly skilled set of people working on developing conservation solutions both in the private sector but also in the NGO sector.
Speaking of people who are involved in rainforest protection in Indonesia, what was your impression? Where do you think, or how important do you think is rainforest protection, as far as you can tell to this point? How important is this to the wider, let's say, public debate in Indonesia?
I think, of course, there is a big discussion around rainforest protection in Indonesia, both driven by domestic debates, but also obviously by global debates. We just had COP27, COP15 around biodiversity is going on. And I think as a starting point, we should realize around 50 to 95 million Indonesians, so more than the population in Germany, depend on rainforests for their livelihoods. Mm-hmm. Of course, there are degrees of dependence. Some depend on it more than others. But it is something that affects nearly half or a third of Indonesians on a daily basis. So it's certainly a very pertinent topic to all of them. However, what I think we should be careful about is thinking it's the only subject that matters to people. Just like in Europe, in Africa, across the entire world, people have multiple priorities. And one thing to keep in mind is that food will always come before forests, right? If people Absolutely. Need to make a livelihood, they will prioritize that over protection. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think very few people will actively want to destroy rainforests for fun. Mm-hmm. But when we talk about rainforest protection, we cannot see this separate from the needs individuals have and the need the Indonesian government has to develop the country, to meet global demands for timber, for palm oil products, for natural resources. So there is always this tension. So yes, rainforest protection matters a lot. I mean, Indonesia started more than 30 years ago making national coverage maps of their rainforests in order to improve their monitoring and understanding of what is happening. Mm-hmm. But there are different parties involved, different interests. So yeah, it's a complex question.
Yeah, thank you. Maybe digging a little bit deeper into this. Obviously, as you just mentioned, there's a set of people that are more dependent on the rainforest than others. There's also a set of people who, let's say, have a larger interest in conservating the rainforest just because they do not personally depend on it, but they view, let's say, climate change mitigation as an overarching goal, right? While not sort of depending themselves on for their livelihoods on the rainforest. And this, I think, brings me to the point to ask you. You found out three major issues or three major parts, three major questions in your study, and one of them actually is sort of digital literacy or literacy in general. And I think after the multi-stakeholder dialogue, at least for me personally, I found that it is not only necessarily digital literacy that is important, but also the knowledge about the importance of actually saving the rainforest, which ironically sometimes is not really known by the people who depend on the rainforest the most. So maybe starting from this point, could you outline the three major or the major points of your study, the major questions we were also discussing in the multi-stakeholder dialogue, and then maybe circle back to the people involved and to which degree they are involved, yeah, and what they actually can do?
I mean, I think one of the first things we found in our study was that the current literature and technology is really focused around the monitoring of what is happening around mm-hmm. rainforests. So how healthy are the rainforests? What coverage does the rainforest have? Where do we see destruction or degradation taking place? And all these data, especially since the past 10, 15 years, have become increasingly available. Now NASA and the European Space Agency make their satellite imagery available for free. Cloud computing makes it much easier to process data remotely. So in terms of open data, there is an incredible advance that has been made that can help protect rainforests. However, I think we have a challenge when it comes to making available data accessible to people. And this difference between availability and accessibility, I think, is particularly key. Because what we see when speaking with conservation projects on the ground is that a lot of them struggle with hiring and retaining quality staff that knows how to work with remote sensing data, how to process information, how to actually implement solutions or take action based on what is happening. So there is a big step to make in that area. And I think this relates a lot to digital literacy, which mm-hmm. was another key point within the stakeholder dialogue and panel discussions we had. Namely, when we go into the more remote areas, quite often people will struggle to have finished secondary school. Sometimes they will not have completed primary school. So the tools and technologies that we have today, first of all, they need to be translated from English to perhaps Bahasa Indonesia, or perhaps even the more local vernacular languages. Secondly, I think as sort of academics, but also as people working in the industry, it's very important to sort of make solutions less technical mm-hmm. and to see what kind of processing we can do in the back end of things while people within the living in the rainforest can enter data in their own way. So if we talk about engaging communities actively in rainforest protection, in monitoring, in data collection, then it needs to be made as easy for them as possible. So no jargon, systems that can deal with not having access to internet, low hardware requirements, etc. So I think there is a big thing there around digital literacy and providing the right kind of training within communities, but doing so in a way that links with their personal experience of often living within the rainforest for centuries. And then the third area we discussed yesterday, which I think is absolutely key to rainforest protection, revolves around ensuring sustainable livelihoods. As I mentioned before, food will come before forest protection for many people. And what we see is by introducing conservation projects, we need to think around the sustainability of that. And quite often what we see now is that projects based around voluntary carbon markets, whereby communities get paid for basically offsetting or storing carbon, are quite often not sufficiently economically viable to really sustain their livelihoods. So if we can find ways in which technology can bring down the costs of maintaining and monitoring and restoring perhaps rainforests, then other livelihood options for people living in these communities can be made easier.
Coming from a sort of policy standpoint, which is obviously always important for the SET project, I'm interested in what do you think, sort of, do you believe that what you were telling us about is a low threshold in terms of technology access, a low threshold in terms of education, right? So these projects need to be easily understandable for the local people who actually have the potential of of doing their part for rainforest protection. What do you think might be a good, you know, sort of way to foster the level of education to a point where people actually understand? And how do you think what do you think is the best way in order to actually make people understand, or make the people in the rural people basically understand, that there's actually a livelihood to be gained from preserving the forest?
I think there's a couple of aspects there. First of all, communities living in rainforests have been doing so quite sustainably for centuries. So they know how to make a livelihood within the context of a rainforest. What is changing is that as part of global development processes, Indonesian development processes, rainforest livelihoods are under threat. And, you know, through deforestation, etc., there is increasing demand for rainforest space. Now, what we need to do, and with we, I mean everyone involved in rainforest protection, is to really put these communities front and center and get their thoughts on how they can sustain a livelihood that they themselves are content with. I don't believe in pushing development for
recruiting
sakes.
Or recruiting them for any NGO, right? It sort of needs to be a grassroots.
Exactly. So I think that should also be the starting point for technology. Technology should not be the solution, which then we need to teach people. I think that's a very patronizing sort of mindset that unfortunately still exists in a lot of the literature that we see, whereby the focus is on developing technical solutions without, I would say, getting the grassroots understanding of the problem.
And I want considering to be the applicability of them, right?
Exactly.
Just because there's a technical solution, this does not mean that people on the ground will actually be able to utilize them.
Exactly.
Right?
So I think let's start with understanding what is needed on the ground and what, and then based on that, what role technology can play in this. And it's from that angle that I'm quite pleased to see a number of private sector actors who, because they think in longer term sustainability of their company, they really need to develop solutions that match what is needed on the ground. In contrast to what we sometimes see in solutions developed by NGOs are in the multilateral or bilateral space, whereby there is project funding for 3 or 5 years, but after that, it's a challenge to sustain things. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, technology should focus on what's needed at local level, really, mm-hmm. for livelihoods. However, of course, I do think there is great benefit to purely scientific research to address bigger questions, things that will never be solved if we only look at one conservation project. Mm-hmm. So I think we need to separate those. But at present, a lot of the focus is just at the big questions around monitoring, alert systems, etc., mm-hmm. and a lot less around what is actually needed on the ground. Part of the problem there, and apologies for the lengthy answer, is that we see now technology being developed, for example, around acoustic monitoring, which can help people detect chainsaws within a protected area, drones or other satellite monitoring systems that can pick up forest fires or degradation. However, it will, especially if you are working in more remote areas, often take days to reach the area where there is an alert or warning that something is wrong. So part of the challenge is to develop approaches that are scalable, mm-hmm. and that can overcome, I would say, the physical distance or time gap, yep. between what is happening on the ground and when action is taken. Mm-hmm. I think a second thing that really surprised me is how much of a gap there is, and we already discussed this briefly, between what's technically possible, mm-hmm. and what is feasible in practice. Mm-hmm. And this really comes down to that question around accessibility and human resource. I mean, Indonesia is technically incredibly advanced, have been pioneering a lot of rainforest monitoring work over the past couple of decades. There are many research institutes and NGOs working on it. But to translate that at the level of a conservation project into action remains a real fundamental challenge. Mm-hmm. And perhaps, you know, for academics, this is a less exciting part of research because you're not developing new models. You're mm-hmm. not developing the new yeah. highly rated paper that will get you lots of citations. Yeah. But it is about making information mm-hmm. actionable yeah. where the big gap is. And in some industries, you find a lot of, I would say, gray literature that talks more applied. Here, I didn't come across that mm-hmm. so much. So I hope that's something that we will see closed in the future. But of course, it's not strange, right? We saw it took 20 years for people to start using the potential of the internet, even more, 3-4 decades
of course.
After it came out. Now we see an incredible development in Earth observation potential, data becoming available, models becoming available. And it's only when that highly technical knowledge starts disseminating from universities into more applied science. Mm. And we see promising signs both here in Indonesia and globally in mm. firms developing applications. But it takes time for this to filter through.
If we would only not be so tight on time, right?
Yes.
Regarding.
It's a rather pressing issue. So I think when we talk about rainforest protection in general, climate change, one of the key things to keep in mind is that it's not just an Indonesian responsibility to protect them. It's a global responsibility. And I think one of the key achievements of this project here in Indonesia has been, especially yesterday during the event, to bring together different stakeholders and to see, especially during the informal sessions, connections being made between people working on the technology side, people working on the information side, people working on the hardcore conservation side, mm-hmm. and to see new linkages which hopefully can then shoot off into more effective conservation projects. And I think that's one role we can play, is of course facilitating connections, information sharing, because at the end, we are just one project. We have hopefully a useful role to play, but it's others that need to take things forward. And seeing rainforests or regular forests yourself walking across there, feeling how incredibly humid it is inside these forests.
Yeah, I bet.
Makes you realize that it is part of an interconnected system, and we all need to take responsibility in addressing the challenges that they face. Yeah. And I think this is actually one of the things where academic research at the moment is really, really making great advances in understanding what are the key areas of the rainforest based on coverage, on biodiversity, on soil type, that we need to focus our conservation efforts on. You know, if we cannot protect all of Indonesia's rainforests, let's make sure we protect the ones that are most valuable for carbon offsetting, for carbon storage. So as much as we would like to protect everything, I think that's an illusion because there are always competing demands for land use. But what we can do, and where I think the monitoring, highly technical science that is now being developed can make a difference, is make sure that what we protect is the most valuable assets we can protect.
Worth protecting, basically. Thank you.
Next, I spoke to Florian Reimer, who is the chief climate officer at Cultiva, an agritech company that specializes on finding digital solutions to help reduce carbon emissions and support forest conservation. Their technology aims to make the production process of agricultural goods and the working conditions of farmers more transparent and visible to a broader audience. Florian is a geographer and utilizes satellite imagery for rainforest protection. Florian has multiple years of working experience in Indonesia and agreed to speak on the role of local populations and digital literacy.
I am interested in sort of the connection that Cultiva has to the people who are indigenous to the rainforest or who live close by them or who have been always living sort of in a, let's say, kind of symbiosis with the rainforest. Could you make that connection between your work, your basically technically assisted work, and the very much on the ground work?
Yes. I think all our technical solutions, be that collecting data on the ground with mobile apps and surveys of people, or looking at it from satellite imagery, have followed the vision of we need to take a good baseline of the status of how is it now, where is it, how is the conditions, the practices, which dynamics exist, so that we can make a science-based, educated, data-driven design of a plan. What do we want to improve? What could take us forward on the journey of sustainability more? As sustainability is no perfect end state, but always in continuous improvement everywhere. We'll never reach perfect sustainability. We need to be more sustainable than yesterday, right? But we need to keep pushing and being ambitious. So we couple data collection via mobile apps from the ground, aggregate that into dashboards, management information systems, and there then comes again the top-down satellite view also. Where is the forest? Where is the agriculture? Is the agriculture expanding into the forest? Is there soil erosion visible in the agriculture? Is the productivity of agriculture maybe decreasing because of soil erosion, misuse of chemical inputs or other pollution? So to have a good baseline, let's design a program for intervention. Let's give people an alternative income that is forest friendly from non-timber forest products, from ecotourism, from an agriculture that lives sustainably with the land. There's concepts like good agricultural practices, climate smart agriculture, now very common regenerative agriculture, organic agriculture.
Very interesting. And could you maybe in your case, an educated guess in what do you, in how do you think, or in what capacity do you think that digital technology will foster global sustainability, will help in rainforest protection, or maybe, and this is what we this is what some of the people in the multi-stakeholder dialogue said, is that there might be a limit to what digital technology can do, as long as not everybody's pretty much in on it, right? There's this huge topic of digital literacy, and you just said, right, there are mobile apps, people can use digital technology to make a living off of the rainforest that is not in that sense unsustainable or destructive. How digital will rainforest protection be in the future?
Much, much more, and also the agriculture for sure. We still have huge gaps on signal towers and electrification of villages. Mm-hmm. But we see the villages that have electrification and signal towers, completely new economies and businesses spring up, completely new types of livelihoods being possible. Mm-hmm. We are tech first and beginning, alpha to omega. We start with tech, from the monitoring, from the design, with the observations and the delivery of our service. However, we believe very much in human verified information and in human first touch. That's why Cultiva is not just building tech solutions. We also have more than 500 field agents on the ground who are agronomists and community organizers, because we need to map farmers who don't have a phone, who don't have a smartphone, who have no electricity regularly going on. We need to map and increase this farmer. So we're working with almost 1 million farmers registered in our system, but more than half do not have a smartphone or no regular signal. So we need to include these people again, and that happens through field agents. So, and then of course they use the app and they bring the training content, they bring the knowledge and knowledge about the market, what can be better grown. We have a huge digitalization in agriculture in the Northern Hemisphere and in developed countries, including Canada, etc., Australia. I mean, I know my answer is already long, but you asked about rainforest. How can rainforest become more digital? Absolutely has to. It's already quite strong on the Earth observation satellite and drone imagery thing. What is getting more and more stronger? Patrol teams with mobile apps and smartphones. Things like Smart Patrol is a software developed by a Wildlife Conservation Society, globally used for rangers, national parks, and patrol teams in rainforest protection to collect data and to communicate. It will become much more in that next frontier of a rural space. I mean, Google has announced the initiative, the next billion users. They're very much after what will be the next big thing that will bring another billion users with smartphones into the internet topic. And we're there. So Google was one of the sponsors of this Climate Smart Tech Award also. So we thank there also for the contribution of being selected. Thank you.
Very, very interesting. And the idea is, right, if I'm getting this right, the idea is that basically there's a certain knowledge about your environment required when you're a farmer, right? You need to know how the soil works, or you need to know what's in your soil. You need to know what crops to grow. And from what I've taken also from the stakeholder dialogue was that basically, because rainforest is so abundant, and for example, you know, just burning a bit of it and then planting on top of the burnt areas is so easy that a lot of farmers basically rely on this method, which could be, and this is probably what you're trying to do, right? So this illegal deforestation in that sense could be limited and sort of maybe not stopped, but at least slowed down heavily by deploying digital technology, which maybe has more information on the earth, on the soil, which sort of, I guess, in that sense, transmits knowledge directly to the farmers. Is there any additional, I mean, I am aware that it's not only farmers who do illegal deforestation, right? As you said, timber products are a huge problem. But would you say there is a transmission of like knowledge? There's new knowledge on the farmers level, basically, which is deployed due to digital means. Am I reading this right? Yeah, right.
Yes, hopefully. I mean, it's not all deforestation is small farmers. Let's be very clear about that. They're often blamed because it's still also in our textbooks in school. The little farmer clears by slash and burn the Amazon, but most of the deforestation in the world is large-scale corporate agriculture and mining, in the tropics at least. We have places where the rainforest is not abundant anymore. Maybe just add a tangible example to make it easier for people to imagine. So how we work a lot for the traceability is with QR codes on products and batches. So when the trader buys from the farmer, to make the transaction, they have to generate a QR code in our app and then stick it on the batch of the bag of the truck where they transport it to the next processor. When they sell it there, they again have to generate a QR code for that batch. And so it goes forth. And now we have several clients and brands that use our QR code and put it on the supermarket ready product that you can scan. So when you are in a supermarket and you have a fair trade organic coffee and you're being asked to spend €3 more for it, you scan the QR code, then you can meet the farmer, right? You know where they are. You see them on the map. You get a video. You get their name, how many children they have, how many trees they have planted, what's their situation, what's their carbon balance, all sorts of information. And the next thing we want to do, tip the farmer. So you like that coffee after you drink it at home, you can send them a donation that you choose into their digital wallet with our Cultipay fintech implementation, as the farmers will have then this digital wallet on their phone. So like you tip a waiter, tip the farmer if you like their product.
And so basically there's a licensed Cultiva approach set of farmers who get these initial codes, right? And sort of if their product makes it, it not only guarantees for organic production, but it also guarantees for that's a very, very interesting system. That's cool. That's really cool. Thank you so much for being on the podcast, Florian. It was a great pleasure talking to you. Best of luck with your endeavors.
Likewise. It's been my pleasure. Thanks a lot, Moritz.
After listening to our specialists, let us summarize. Rainforest protection in Indonesia can and needs to be assisted by digital means. Still, the empowerment and inclusion of those living directly in and off the rainforest is crucial for its survival. Improving digital literacy among locals remains a challenge for and a segue into a sustainable approach to the conservation of what is a global treasure worthy of every bit of our effort. The SET team wants to thank you for coming along to Indonesia with us. We hope it was as much of a pleasure for you as it was for us. See you in the next episode, where we explore Mexico's green tech sphere and the deployment of artificial intelligence for sustainability.
This podcast is part of the project Sustainability, Entrepreneurship and Global Digital Transformation, SET. Since November 2021, our project team has been developing innovative research formats and dialogue events in exchange with local actors from academia, politics, business, and civil society in 8 countries worldwide. The project is funded by the Deutsche Gesellschaft für internationale Zusammenarbeit on behalf of the Federal Ministry for Economic Cooperation and Development. This podcast was edited by Marie Blümel, Christian Grauvogel, Moritz Timm and Ann-Christine Ziesemer. Scientific Input by Stefan Bohn, Georg von Richthofen and Fabian Stefani. Sound and Recording by Alexander Triebsees.